It's doing well and staying relatively healthy. There were some challenges the last couple of weeks with the Omicron variant of COVID-19, and we certainly have had within our congregation our share of folks who have been affected by it. In fact, the last couple of weeks, while we've been a little bit down here in the auditorium where we're meeting, we've had an uptick in online engagements, and that's because people are being cautious and safe. And so whether you have chosen to be here this morning, whether you're viewing online, want to encourage everybody to continue to practice good common sense and everything related to the virus as we move forward. And we're going to deal with it and move on and continue to be continue to do what God is calling us to do and making adjustments as we go. But we thank you for being here. We thank those who have joined us online for being with us as well. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do this morning is get your phone out, okay? Get your phone out. Everybody get your phone out. It isn't very often that we make this request. I do request that you don't use your phone to watch a replay of the Bengals Raiders game, or if you're so inclined, the game that was on last Monday night that a couple of certain teams were playing. You wouldn't want to watch that one anyway. But what I want to encourage you to do, if you have not checked your email this morning, and you can check your email on your phone, go to your inbox, and you should have received from me this morning via the amazing technology of email an invitation to download and use our new updated, refurbished, our Northeast app. We have that app through the company of Tidely, through whom we do our online giving, and they have created a platform that we have been able to come up with ourselves and put our information into this app that I believe will be very helpful for us in terms of communication, in terms of staying on top of things, and being a more connected and engaged congregation. So if you have pulled up your email and you do not have the Northeast app, if you click on that little link in your email, that will take you to, hopefully, will take you to a page, a Play Store, whether it's an iPhone Play Store or whether it's Google Play, and there you have an opportunity to download the Northeast app, and it may ask you for some permissions if you go ahead and do that. If you're not here this morning or you're home later and you're on a computer, you can take your smartphone and put that right up to the QR code, and then that will take you to the link where you can download the Northeast app. And so, having said that, this is what you will find, and I know some of you haven't gotten to the home screen by now, and I don't expect you necessarily to, but when you download the Northeast app and you pull up the Northeast app, this is what your home screen will look like. About us, live stream, give, visit us, and there's a menu down at the bottom and then one at the top left. So when you first log on and you first pull up this app, this is probably the first thing that you will see once you pull it up. And basically, it's asking you to connect the Northeast app to your Tithely account. Now, you don't have to have a Tithely account. Many of us do. But you don't have to have a Tithely account to connect to our app. So what most of you may want to do at this point is just go into the upper right-hand corner. There's an X right there. You just X out of that, and then that will take you to the Northeast app home screen. And so if you'll notice here, in the upper left-hand corner, you see something that looks, somebody says it looks like a little hamburger. Well, that's a menu. And if you, for example, were to click on that, then you would come to the place where it has your inbox and giving and contact support. The most important thing right now for you is to click on this little thing that says settings. And if you click on settings, it will then take you to this next section, and it will ask you if you want to allow push notifications. And basically all that is, that's a way for you, if you have certain apps and you feel like you don't want to be bothered and hassled with that app incessantly, then you accept push notifications. Just kidding. We plan on using push notifications, and hopefully we can get everybody on this. And we're not just going to be sending out stuff all the time, but when there's an emergencies, there's cancellations, other events or messages that we have to get out quickly to our membership, and we want to do it through the app, we do it through these push notifications. So if you give approval for that as you move forward. And then now, next we go back to the home page. And on the lower right-hand side of that, there is another little hamburger down there, which is also a menu that will take you to this. And some of these links are links that go directly to our website. Others are ones, for example, if you'll notice here, when you hit that menu, here's a little space that says Current Bulletin. So if you have our Northeast app and you pull it up and you go to that little menu on the lower right-hand side, you will come to a thing that says Current Bulletin. You click on that, and it will take you to the current bulletin of the week. Very handy and convenient. Another thing that you see in this same menu, it says The Hub. A login is required. That will be a place where you, and if you don't have a login and you don't know how to get on The Hub, we can help you with that as well. But you click on that, you log in, and then you can be taken to look at the prayer list. You can find birthdays. You can look up information about members at Northeast. There's a lot of practical uses of this link on the Hub. So when you go back to the home screen, and I'm not going to give you a total complete tutorial on this morning. It would be, I couldn't do it, and it would probably be rather dull. But there's the home screen again. And you notice on the home screen, if you click on the about, let me stop there real quick, one second. After service today, if any of you are having trouble or maybe want a little help with this app, we're going to have a team of people right up here that will be willing to help you kind of work through that if you have any questions about the app. So remember that at the end of service today. So when you click on the About Us, many of you will come to a page that looks like this. Now, depending on whether you have an iPhone or whether you have an Android, we are grateful for people who have either one. But I guess with the iPhone, if you click on it, there's a little thing right up here that says Get Directions. All right? And the nice thing about that is on any given Sunday, if you are driving to church and you happen to forget how to get here, you just pull up your handy Northeast app, you click on About Us, then you click on Get Directions, and then you can get here, just in case you forget. Of course, I say some of that tongue-in-cheek. The fact is, getting directions is pretty important. And while you may not need directions to get here to Northeast, you may know how to get here just fine, it's important that we understand that directions are important in life. We've been talking about the road trip that we're on. And we've been talking in this series about the comparison between what goes on in our lives and taking a road trip. We think about just expressions that we use on a daily basis. Think about this. How many times do we use language in a figurative way that relates to this idea of movement or taking a trip or going on the road, whatever that might be? When you face a difficult circumstance in life, what do you say sometimes? You say something like, well, I've hit a roadblock. Or if you come to a place in life where you're making a decision, you're wondering which way to go, you may say, you know, I've come to a fork in the road and I've got to make a decision. If you're living a life and you feel spent, you feel tired, your energy's not what it should be, sometimes you hear somebody saying something like, you know, I just feel like I'm running on empty. The language, the illustrations could go on and on and on. And the fact is, as we go on this road trip of life, if I could use another metaphor, we don't want to be asleep at the wheel, do we? We want to be awake. We want to be alert. We want to get there. And we want to be able to navigate life's passages because we are on a journey. Life is a highway. And so knowing that, last week we began our discussion taking a look at where the trip will end. I did that on purpose because I want us to remember that ultimately we are going somewhere, and ultimately death is not the end of the road. Death will be a passageway for us. And so if we were to borrow the language from, you know, an old classic rock song, we saw last week that there are some who are on a highway to hell, and that's a sad state to be in. And yet there's another alternative. If you want to go with another group, think of Led Zeppelin and think of their song, Stairway to Heaven. If I had two roads to take or two ways to take, I want to take the second one. I want to be on the road to heaven. That's my ultimate home. That is what I am longing for. That is what I am anticipating. And we looked at this screen last week as we talked about that in terms of the glory of that ultimate home. I think we always need to keep that in mind as we travel. We are going somewhere, and the road does not end at death. And so there is a phrase that's used in the Bible, in the New Testament. I can't remember if I mentioned it last week or not, but it is Maranatha, which means come, Lord. We want you to come. We are anxious for your return. Now, depending on where you are, you may be thinking right now, things are going just fine in my life. I'm not, I want to go to heaven someday, but right now things are just fine and I'm enjoying life and things are good. But the fact is, at some point, all of us are going to deal with this reality, and it's going to be a question that all of us need to think about, whether we're doing just fine and great and dandy right now or whether we're not. Sometimes we're surprised. You may have heard about the man who went to the doctor, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor had been running tests, and the doctor said, I have some bad news and some good news for you. And he says, what do you want first? He says, well, did I tell this one last week? I don't think I did. The doctor said, what do you want? He says, I want the good news first. And so the doctor says, okay, I'll give you the good news. The good news is, you only have 24 hours to live. And did I tell this last week? Okay. Okay, huh? I have told it before. Okay. Yeah, all right. And then what's the good news? Bad news. The good news is you only have 24 hours to live. What's the bad news? What could be worse? And the doctor says, well, I meant to call you yesterday, but I forgot. That's the bad news. Good news and bad news. And so we need to think about where we're going. We need to think about traveling on the road. We need to think about where we're going. But honestly now, sometimes the journey can be confusing. Sometimes the journey can be frustrating. When's the last time you got lost? When is the last time your GPS failed? When is the last time you and your spouse, you're traveling, you're going somewhere, and you're trying to get somewhere, and you're saying one thing, she's saying something else, she's saying maybe you should have turned back here, and you're frustrated? Well, a couple of months ago when we were traveling in Florida, we went to the Panhandle, we were headed to the beach, and we were using the GPS, using a map program, and we were in an area in the Panhandle of Florida where it wasn't picking up, so we were getting confused, and I finally had to swallow my pride and stop somewhere and ask for directions. And the girl who was at this convenience store where we stopped, she gave me some directions, pointed me in this direction, and we did what she said, and lo and behold, her directions were wrong. So we were stuck in a place. We were stuck in a place trying to get somewhere with our map program not working, with somebody giving us wrong directions. And sometimes, quite frankly, as we're traveling, as we're having to alter our travel plans, it can be downright, it can be tough. I mean, how do you feel when you get stuck in traffic? Nobody likes getting stuck in traffic. But how do you feel when you get stuck in life? And that's where the analogy comes in here in terms of how we're going to apply these principles to where we are right now in our lives. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you're stuck in a place that you feel you can't get out of this bind that you're in, or you don't see an answer or a solution to a problem or some dilemma that you're facing. That's the way life is. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard to make a decision how we need to go or how we need to drive. When are those times that we need to put the pedal to the metal and just put it in overdrive and go? But there are other times in our lives when we kind of need to go with the flow and just kind of wait. But there are other times in our lives when maybe we just need to stop and pull off the side of the road and rest or stretch or do whatever we need to do. But it's not always easy. It isn't easy. The road of life is sometimes very, very hard. But I want to establish this point and make sure we all understand this before we move on. And that is, I believe the Bible teaches that God has a plan for you. A couple of weeks ago, in a different lesson, a different series, I mentioned Psalm 139. And the psalmist David in Psalm 139 is absolutely amazed with what God is doing and how God is involved in his life and how God is ever present and how God, even before he says, I speak a word from my mouth, God, you know what I'm going to say. But God's been involved from the very beginning. God's been involved even before you were born. When David says, your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me that were written in your book, before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. And so I don't believe that this is just something that can just be applied just to David, or statements like this applied just to the big, popular, famous people in the Bible that God used sometimes in a mighty and a powerful way. God can use all of us. And God is calling you into his plan for your life. Now, this is where the rub comes. The rub comes in discovering that plan for my life, in aligning myself with the will of God and the plan he has for me. And I can resist those plans. I can thwart what he's wanting to do in my life and accomplish in my life, or I can cooperate with him in that process. But it's exciting to me to think that God is inviting you. God is inviting me into this great adventure. I think of the Stephen Curtis Chapman song from years ago called The Great Adventure. And it doesn't talk about driving cars, but it talks about getting on your horse and going on your way. And in that song, great song, saddle up your horses. We've got a trail to blaze. And so we get on that horse and we go. We're ready for a great adventure. So God has a plan for me. And God wants to direct my life. But to be directed, I need good directions. I need good directions, among other things. I'll talk about those in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. If we're going to get where we need to go, we need good directions. We need to pay attention. We need to listen. We need to think about what Jesus said that we talked about last week from John 14, when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and so that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house, there's many rooms, there's places to come. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you so that where I am, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bring you to be with me so that you can be where I am. And one of the apostles on that occasion says to him, we don't know where you're going. How can you talk about going somewhere? We don't know where it is that you're going. You're going to leave us behind. And that's when Jesus says to them, he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you're going to go on this road trip, on this journey, and you want to go to the Father, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But we need to be willing to listen to him. We need to hear the voice of Jesus. We need to seek his will. We need to be open. We don't need to be like that person who is maybe getting directions from somebody, and because of pride or not wanting to take advice from somebody else, they're just not listening to what somebody's telling them to do that they need to do. We need good directions, and we need an openness, a humility that says, I don't know everything. I am not ultimately the captain of my ship. I want Jesus to be the captain of my ship, or the driver, the navigator in my car. And I don't want to always lean on my own understanding, because my own understanding can be wrong. I can't always see things clearly. You know, sometimes I can have blinders on. And I need to pay attention. I need to listen. And so whether that's you going to the Word of God and looking at it fresh, or the words of Jesus and letting those speak to you in a way that will truly strike your heart. You may be in a dry, difficult place right now, but you need to be willing to find good directions, and those good directions are found in Jesus. I think sometimes we can get kind of stubborn, and if you've ever had a GPS and you have it turned up and you've set a destination, but you take a little detour, maybe you stop for a break or you stop to eat lunch and you have the volume turned up. If you have one of those GPSs that says that irritating statement, what do they say constantly? If you have it turned up, you're trying to go somewhere but you're going a different way. What do they say? Recalculating. And Jeannie and I, she's back in children's worship this morning, but sometimes we just have a lot of fun just turning that up, and we're going somewhere, and we take a turn, and it almost sounds like she's getting more irritated every time she says to us, recalculating. It's like, turn around, change your direction. What are you doing? Well, sometimes God is trying to get our attention. We need to pay attention. We need good directions, and we need a willingness to submit to Him, as we understand His will and as we seek it. This is something else we need on our trip. We need a good set of wheels and plenty of fuel. Those of you who are younger, you may not be familiar with this scene, but that car on the right, that is the family truckster. And if you've ever seen the movie Vacation, you know it starts out with Clark and his son going to the auto dealership, and they've ordered a car, but the car is not right, and the slick salesman tries to get them to buy this family truckster that they don't want. And here is a 1-minute scene from the movie when he comes home with the family truckster right now. Watch that.
Is that the right car?
No, it isn't, honey. I changed my mind.
They flattened our old car like a pancake.
Are you serious? Is this really our car, Dad?
What happened? I thought we were going to get the little sports thing.
Oh, no, the sports wagon's much too small. Besides, I got a great deal on this one. Let me tell you, honey, we're taking the whole tribe across country. Believe me, this is your automobile.
Why is it still running?
Oh, all new cars do that. I'll take care of that in a second. You may think you hate it now, honey, but where do you drive it? Whoa!
All right, just one of the many memorable scenes in the, 1985 movie Vacation. Well, that brings us to this question. Is your car roadworthy? Is your car roadworthy? Now, I'm just asking that question maybe to think about it in terms of thinking of yourself like you were a car. And so if you were going to talk about your journey in life and you were going to compare yourself to a car, what would that car be? What kind of car are you? I know some of you are thinking, man, I'm a Rolls Royce. I'm a Ferrari. I'm a Lamborghini. And some of you may be thinking right now, well, I'm just an old jalopy, right? And it depends on how you look at it. Because a car being roadworthy is not dependent on whether it has all the bells or whistles. These two cars up here, they're up here not by coincidence, but by the fact that it's two cars that we used to own. I've told you about this Renault Alliance, the first new car we ever bought. This looks exactly like it, including the color, but it's not our car. But it had a 50,000-mile warranty on the powertrain, and at 50,000 miles and maybe 50,600 miles, the whole thing went kaput. And so it was basically we had to trade the car in because it wasn't worth what it would take to fix it. And we ended up getting an old used Chevy Chevette hatchback. And I will tell you, that car, we had it a long time. We drove it around so long that the stuff in the ceiling starts coming down, you know, and it was not the prettiest car in the world. In fact, that's the same car that Jeannie went off the road into a soybean field and spun the car around when Andrew was in his car seat in the back, and he totally fell over sideways in the car. But everything was fine. But this was a good car. It was a good car. We didn't have any problems with it. It didn't look so great, but it was still a good car. It was roadworthy. And so I think about how that compares to our lives and our own roadworthiness in life. And the fact is, you don't have to be a Lamborghini. You don't have to be a Rolls Royce. Listen, if you want to look at your life and say, look, I'm that old used Buick that's been around for 10 years, that's fine too. Because here's the truth. Whatever kind of car we are, whatever the wheels are, God equips us, okay? He gives us the equipment. And we've been equipped with everything we need to take this trip. We have the gift of prayer. We have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And sometimes our problem is not that we aren't equipped or we aren't ready or we aren't roadworthy. Sometimes the problem is caused by us not maintaining things or not stopping to get gas and not focusing on those things that will help us make our plans on this road trip. And so as we make this trip, make your plans. It's good to make plans. It's good to think about the future. From our reading this morning, in the 13th verse of James 4, it says, listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and we're going to make money. Now, James has something to say about people who make plans to go to certain places and do certain things. And I want to say right off the bat, there is absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. We need to make plans. If we don't have a plan, sometimes we plan to fail. Some of us need a little more organization in our lives. And one of the little practical things that I put in the Connect Point today on the last page of your bulletin is this. If you feel like your life is out of management and it seems a little chaotic, do something as simple as to get a day planner. Maybe with some scriptures or something that will lead you in devotionals, but something that you do that will help you get more organized in what you're doing. But the fact is, if we don't plan, we plan to fail. Now, that includes planning for changes to come. Planning for the future, knowing things that we know are going to happen or will happen or probably happen. Think about this just a minute. Think about each stage of life and think about what a challenge that is. In life, we go through passages. And each of those stages, at the time, it seems like something that is almost too overwhelming for us. I remember what I felt like when I was going from the sixth grade into seventh grade. That was one of the hardest transitions in my life. But I had a plan for that. And that plan was I wanted to do something about the boy that picked on me all the time in the seventh grade, and what was I going to do about him in the eighth grade? I had a plan. I'm not going to tell you about that plan, what I did. I didn't have him knocked off or anything like that. But I had a plan. When you're growing up, you're a teenager, you're getting ready to leave home, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to college? Are you going to go to trade school? What about marriage? What about the kids? What about when the kids leave home? Are you thinking about as a couple? Are you thinking about what life is going to look like if life continues when the kids are out of the house and you're part of an empty nest? You don't just think about that when the kids are gone. I know of people who spend so much time and revolve so much of their lives in everything around their children, devote time, effort, work, attention, love to their children, that when the kids leave home, they haven't been paying attention to their own marriage. They haven't been working on their own relationship. And that's why after the kids leave home is one of the main years that people will sometimes get divorces. But it's the idea of what about retirement? How many of you are thinking about retirement? Raise your hand. How many of you are thinking and planning about retirement? That's something that we have to think about. Because we're going to get there sooner or later, whether we want to admit it or not. So I need to think right now about setting aside some money for my retirement if I'm going to be facing that sometime in the near future. Maybe I need to think about my 401k. Maybe I need to think about different things in life, transitions in life. I think about my plans for the future. And a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that my role is going to be changing and transitioning going into next year. But I also told you that's something I've been thinking about for years and years and years. And the elders and I have been talking about it. And so I wanted a plan. We want to have a plan for that. You can't move forward and transition and with different passages in life and not think about what that means. So I've been here 39 years. In June, it'll be 40 years. It was time that I started thinking about what does this time look like up until the time when I retire. And I know, a lot of us don't like change. I've had some people tell me, I just don't like change. But that's the way it is. Life is full of change. If we're moving, if we're traveling, if we're on the road, the scenery changes. If we're stuck and not moving, we need to get moving. We need to think about the future. And so, listen, I know this church will be here in 50 years, Lord willing, but I won't be here. Many of us won't be here. We need to think about what the future is. And so with that in mind, not knowing what the future holds, we want to have a plan. I realize this is not my pulpit. This is not my pulpit. This is not my church. This is our church. And we want to do what we can individually and as a congregation that's going to be best for this church moving into the future. And I tell you, I am excited about what I'm going to be doing the next 2 or 3 years. And so I want you to be excited with me. I've had a couple of you come up to me and, just say things, that just you miss the point of what's going on here. We need to think about the future, and we need to plan, and we need to plan for the changes to come. We don't want to be caught by surprise, but the fact is we can't expect the unexpected. We don't know what the future holds. None of us knows what tomorrow holds. And sometimes things can seem kind of random at times. It's hard to understand what's going on. Sometimes we feel like the cows are falling on us. We didn't plan that. But if we have good directions, and if we have a good automobile, and we have good wheels, and we make plans, we can expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected comes, it doesn't totally annihilate us. But the truth is, we can make plans. We can make plans, and sometimes they just don't happen. James says, going back to the passage of James, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I have up there the statement, the best laid plans of mice and men. And that statement comes from a poem by Robert Burns, a Scottish poet and author who lived in the 1700s and wrote a poem called To a Mouse. And in this poem, he is lamenting the fact that as he plows his field, he is disrupting the home of this mouse who is having to scurry and find a new place, and his home has totally been annihilated. You saw the field bare and wasted and weary winter coming fast and cozy here beneath the blast. You thought to dwell till crash. The cruel plow passed out through your cell, but little mouse, You are not alone. Improving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men often go awry. By the way, this is a modern version of what he would have written that a lot of it you probably wouldn't understand. And leave us nothing but grief and pain for promised joy. And listen to what he says about the mouse. Still you are blessed compared with me. Only the present touches you. But oh, I backward cast my eye on prospects dreary. Let me interpret that for you. He says, mouse, you're so lucky. You're just living in the day. You're just living in the now. You're not regretting the past. You're just dealing right now. You don't know about the future. And yet me, here as a human, I look back to the past and I have regrets. And then he says, I look to the future. And he says, though I cannot see, this is what he does as he looks to the future. I guess and fear. I guess and fear. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be the one who looks to the future and looks to the future only with guess and fear. And that's why in this passage in James 4, James says, if you're doing something, if you're making your plans, say, if the Lord is willing, we will go to this town or that town or go to this place and do these things. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And yet, listen to what the wise man in Proverbs says. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Brothers and sisters, that's the key. Am I truly seeking, pursuing His will in my life? Every day, praying for His guidance. Every day, looking for those open doors. Every day, saying, God, use me how you want to use me. And if we have that attitude in life, and if we are taking that journey with God along the way, with Jesus, every step along the way, I can embrace the future. Embrace the future. Because the future in Jesus is always bright. And it's always meaningful. And it's always purposeful. I don't know where you are right now. You may be stuck. You may be hitting all kinds of potholes on the journey, and you're just struggling what way to go. God will let you get back on that path if you need to get on that path. And you can be excited. This church can be excited about the future. But I want to live my life in such a way right now that 50, 100, 150 years down the way, as people are still being influenced by what is happening at this church or the people who were a part of this church, that I had a role. I had a role in those plans of God and that I was open to what He was calling me to do. But that's true for every single one of us. Embrace the future. Embrace the future of hope. And I believe that it is bright. Bright. I want to close by reading from this passage in James. I just want you to hear the words. He says, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. And then this statement. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. It's not just about not doing the things that we shouldn't do. It's about answering the call right now to get in the car and get on the road to where God is calling us right now, calling you right now. And so what is that next step for you? Don't hesitate. Get in the car, gas it up, and get on the road. And as we ride and drive with God in this race, we can be sure that ultimately the road, the journey ends right where it needs to be for us.